It's time to get informed with the Muskegon Heights Fire Chief, Chris Dean. Learn about fire safety, home inspections, and how to keep your family safe in the case of an emergency. Tune in Tuesdays at 10 a.m. for an in-depth conversation that could save your life. Got a question for Chief Dean or his guests? Call 231-722-8338. It's time for the Fire Chief Christopher Dean Show.
Good morning. Good morning out there in Radio Land. This is Fire Chief Christopher Dean with Muskegon Heights Fire Department, hitting the airwaves here at 103.7 The Beat. We're on the air today with the ever-faithful firefighter, Gary Davis.
Good morning.
Can they hear you out there, Gary?
I don't know.
Uh-oh. Testing 1, 2.
Can they hear me now?
There they
can. All right. Can you hear me now? Yeah. Yes, good morning, Muskegon and the surrounding areas. Great to be here once again.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spring morning. We had a little rough patch the last couple of days, and and it looks like there's going to be a break in the cloud, so to speak.
Great, yeah. Good thing to see.
Yeah. As always, I want to start out by saying anyone is welcome to call in with any questions, comments, concerns at 231-722-8338. We're always welcoming callers on the show. We're our primary focus is fire safety, but we also can venture into some other areas of concern if any of you out there have any questions.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of the weather, it's finally, I think all the snow is gone. What do you think?
Yeah, it's gone. You see little patches here and there of stubborn resistance, but other than that, it's gone for the most part. It's a good feeling. You can see, you know, the people out, you kind of get that feeling of spring fever in there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
When it stay gone.
Yeah. Mihan, you're right there. It's gone. Yeah, it's that time of the year. It's that time of the year. I remember there was a TV show on that I used to watch, The Wire, and they talk about, you know, when it get a certain temperature, you know, people get out and start grilling and you know, all that.
We had that last week.
Yeah. And I must confess, I was one of those people grilling.
Yeah. Hit them 50-degree days, and the barbecue sounds like it's nice.
And
going off and dusting it off, going, let me get this back.
Right.
And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today is outdoor fire safety, aren't we?
Yes. So yeah. We're going to talk about outdoor fire safety.
In the news, I mean, as far as fire-wise, we've had a good couple of weeks just recently after some very difficult times. We did have another smaller fire recently, but it was a dryer fire. No one was injured, thank God. And the damage was minimal, and the people are going to rebound well from it. But it also, you know, even that one little smaller fire, you know, highlights the importance of working smoke alarms. I think that's our continuing theme for the year is going to be making sure that you, as the listeners out there, are being aware of the need to have your smoke alarms in place, have them working, check them. And also discussing things like exit drills in the home, making sure that you and everyone else in your home have a plan to get out when there's a fire.
Correct. And might I add, when we do go out and install the smoke detectors, we also have a questionnaire.
Yes.
It's a fire safety questionnaire. And we walk through the home with the homeowner just to help them assure that their home is fire safe.
Okay.
You know, so it's more than smoke detector that's going to be of aid to you in the event of a fire. But fire prevention is the key, and you can prevent fires from ever starting by, you know, making sure that you're on the positive end on the checklist that we provide for you.
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just adding the alarms. It's the educational component. It's reminding people, you know, hey, you have to have a plan, and you have to have fire-safe habits. Fire-safe habits are very important. One of the ones that I think we've highlighted recently with the recent events is, you know, things of attendant cooking and things like that. Mihan, you want to speak on that?
Do not fall asleep. Or don't play a video game while you cooking. It keeps you woke.
Well, you got to pay attention. Unattended cooking is one of the leading causes of fire in the United States. And it could be as simple as, well, you know, I'm just going to go in the other room and do this really quick while the grease warms up. That can result in a fire. We've had numerous fire fatalities over the years involving cooking, and several fire injuries where people were injured because they weren't paying attention to what was going on in the kitchen, and then they tried to put it out themselves versus calling 911. One of the most dangerous things you can do, like with a grease fire, is adding water to it. You know, adding water to a grease fire creates a very dramatic and violent explosion of the grease fire, and it's something that you don't ever want to do. I was actually thinking of doing a training relevant to that with the fire department just to demonstrate that and creating a fire safety video of how hazardous it is to add water to a grease fire.
All right, great.
What are some things you want to do for a small grease fire?
Well, if you have a small grease fire, simply turning the burner off.
Okay.
Or covering it with a lid is probably the best things to do in that case.
Okay.
But if you have any fear or concern, just get out. You know, as I've said probably once or 100 times, you can fix your house. You can fix the cabinets. You can fix the doors. You can fix a broken window. But, you know, injuries and deaths, we can't replace people. And what it will cost you if you're injured in a fire as far as health and medical and pain and suffering is far, far, far greater than to replace those cabinets.
That's correct. That's correct.
You know, you think of it this way. If you try and put out a fire and you burn your hand, that emergency trip in the ambulance is $1,000. That ER visit to see the doctor is $1,000. The time off work because you burned your hand and were injured is how many thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you stack it up like that, remodeling your kitchen is nothing compared to what you're going to pay in health and safety.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. When you put in that perspective, you can see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So so you had your own experience there, Mihai?
Oh, no, I didn't have the experience. I got close. I ended up playing a video game while I was cooking.
But, okay.
And then after I got done playing the game, I ended up nodding off to sleep. But that's that what made me think about I was still actually cooking.
So the it would never happen to me thought process was in play because I think a couple weeks ago we discussed this. And Gary, are you okay? Are you okay?
Sound like he fell out of the chair.
Did you fall out of the chair with astonishment that Mihan fell asleep while cooking?
I think that's what did it.
Yeah, you just befuddled. You just
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it
after we talked about this.
I knew that was coming.
Yes, yes. Well, it looks like the computer's okay, though.
Yeah, it is. Okay. It's fine.
Wow. But yeah, so after we talked about this, you learned firsthand a little bit. What were you cooking? Let's get the meat and potatoes of this.
Actually, yeah, I was warming up some of my mom cooked was with carrots.
Roast?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Roast. Yeah.
All right. Well, at least it was, you know, something good and healthy.
It took a little while.
Okay. All right. All right. And it was, you know, we ain't going to talk about your cooking skills because all you doing warming it up.
I was thinking the same thing. Come on, man.
But nonetheless, it still underscores the importance of, you know, paying attention when you're cooking, whether you're cooking in the oven, cooking on the stovetop, no matter what you're cooking, to pay attention, making sure that it isn't, you know, getting burned or causing a fire. I mean, it can happen to you. It can happen to anyone, and it happens every day, every day.
Yeah, that's correct. Every day.
Yeah, every day. Every day. I mean, in recent news otherwise, I'm not sure. It was all over the internet. The Fresno firefighter, you see that?
Yeah, yeah.
There was a Fresno firefighter critically injured in a fire yesterday. He was on top of a roof getting ready to ventilate a roof. He was walking and sounding the roof as he went, and the roof gave in underneath him, and he fell through into the fire. Was severely injured. He's expected to make it, but received burns over 50% to 60% of his body in that fire. Mm-hmm. Very, very unfortunate incident. It underscores, you know, the dangers in the job of firefighting. I think it's not often realized how dangerous it is and how dynamic the job is and how many things are expected. Wouldn't you say, Gary?
I would say, I would say. And it gets back to what we were just talking about. We were talking about something as simple as leaving food unattended.
Yeah.
And that's where it all starts. You know, it can start with a person cooking and, hey, I'm going to go check on the dog. And then, get in there, check on the dog. And you want to straighten up the room that you're in. And it's so easy to forget. You know, unless you're a great multitasker, it's so easy to forget that you may have something else going. And by the time you remember, it could be a little bit late, and it can go from a little small stove fire getting out of hand, burning the person trying to put it out. That person runs out of the house, and it escalates to something larger, to the magnitude of what we just saw in the story of the firefighter falling through the roof that Chief Dean just talked about. So all fires start somewhere.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
fire, particular fire, it started somewhere. And it probably didn't start large, but it ended up almost taking the life of a firefighter. It's a tragedy. But once again, through fire prevention, we try to encourage people to be, you know, aware of these things and just to practice fire safe habits at all times.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All fires usually start small. They don't start out as some large explosion. I mean, and they grow rapidly.
Right.
Absolutely, absolutely. And other news also, you know, we're past the water freeze up thing. There was a lot of media attention, somewhat undue, on water freeze ups in Muskegon Heights. And I'd like to say that my guys at the fire department, they stepped up to the plate with doing some things such as running a water fill station for people without water, and also delivering water jugs to people who were homebound or stuck in the homes, locked in, so to speak, elderly couples and things like that. The guys really stepped up to the plate. They did a great job making sure that the citizens were taken care of. A truly above and beyond service that they did.
I mean, good job.
Well, I'd like to say on behalf of the guys, Chief, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
I appreciate, you know, when the guys really, you know, they take on a lot of extra tasks on a regular basis on behalf of the city and the community and the citizens. And, you know, when you look at value added, you know, I would love to pat my own back, but it's not my back that's being patted. It's the guys in the department, because I'm only one part of the puzzle in the department. But it's the guys that are out there doing the work that are really doing a lot of value added things for the citizens, that if it wasn't for their cooperative spirit and their desire to help and serve and be there for the community, whether they live in the community or not, whether they look like everyone in the community or not, these guys are out here providing service and giving value-added service to the community that isn't in their job description. It isn't in their contract. These guys are doing stuff that truly they could say, well, you know, Chief, you know, contract doesn't say that, but the guys are out there doing it. And the water is just one example of how they stepped up to the plate. They worked extra hours. They took away from their normal duties and tasks, because they do have a set of duties and tasks to perform every day to provide, you know, fire prevention, safety, and response.
Mm-hmm.
And they stepped up and said, okay, and we're also going to do these extra things. Right. But it's important that the community know that, you know, that the guys are absolutely stepping up and taking these extra steps to make sure that they're safe and giving value added things that you may not see everywhere else.
Right. And I can say, you know, being a firefighter, it's just so much more than what the average citizen would see or even, you know, fathom. You know, when I got hired with the fire department, you know, I was under the impression, basically, I wasn't even aware of the medical runs that we run. I thought it was, you know, you get a house fire, you put it out.
Nope.
And that was basically
go back
it.
To the station, lift weights.
Yeah, or a train, you know.
Yeah.
But I've come to find out that being in the fire business is about humanity. Mm-hmm. It's an entity that has grown to be one to serve humankind in whatever situation humankind may find themselves in. Mm-hmm. And if you look and if you read the paper or you see the news, it doesn't matter what kind of incident it is. You're going to see a firefighter there.
Oh, yeah.
You might not see police at every incident. You're going to see a firefighter or ambulance, but you're going to see a firefighter from
car crash.
Cats and trees, someone stuck in a swing on the playground, from some of the most minor little.
You got a few cats out of the trees?
Yes, I have. And when I was a kid, I threw a few cats up in the trees.
Now, normally they get themselves out.
Yeah, but, right, right.
But once in a blue moon, we have to go get them.
Right.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, as Firefighter Davis was saying, you look at it, you know, no matter what's going on in the emergency services world, the fire department is usually there. And plays an active role. I mean active in not standing there observing, but usually a hands-on active role that's important to the success of operation. If there's a shooting, mm-hmm. we're there. We're hands-on.
And when I was younger, I used to see that. I used to say, why is the firefighter coming?
Well, and I think a lot of the community, and we still get it at times, don't realize that every member of the Muskegon Heights Fire Department is a trained medical first responder. Mm-hmm. There's a certain level of medical care that every member of the department can provide to a citizen, above CPR and first aid. And so we're often the first responder that's on scene providing that initial level of care until the ambulance gets there. It's critical when you talk about CPR survival rates or cardiac arrest survival rates, uh-huh. that first response, that early cardiac defibrillation. We carry defibrillators in every single unit we have. That's one of the improvements we've made in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 3 years since I've been chief, we went from having two licensed medical first response vehicle to every vehicle in our fleet has a full accompaniment of medical equipment, including a defibrillator. And it's all about taking care of the people. When we did that, we said, okay, we need to invest more in flexibility in our medical response. And that's what we did. We said, okay, we're going to have to spend a few thousand more dollars on this vehicle, a few thousand dollars on this vehicle, to have all the equipment there so that no matter what vehicle is out of the station, if we come upon a cardiac arrest or some type of medical emergency, we can provide care without having to say, oh, well, you hang on real quick while the other truck that has the mm-hmm. rest of the medical equipment gets here.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's a dynamic organization, and I think people don't realize that, hey, when the fire department gets there on a medical, it's because we are medically trained. We have been responding for years, and we've made a difference. There's from time to time, there's these awards that are given out through the Muskegon County Medical Control Authority for CPR saves, where a CPR intervention AED use has saved a person's life. Firefighter Davis here received one of those about 2 years ago on a friend.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yes,
that's correct.
And it's a really great thing. And so, when you see the fire department going to medicals, it's because we have training. There's a level of care we can provide. There's things we can do for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of those, it's another one of those dynamic things, you know, things that not everyone sees and understands about the fire service. There's a lot of facets to our organization.
Yeah, so many facets. It's it's almost grown into a thing where, you know, when in doubt, just call the fire department. I mean, we get calls at the department for so many things. So many things that I won't even mention, but things that, why would you call the fire department for? But they just feel that, hey, if anybody know how to do it, it's the fire department. And in most of those cases, if we can help that person, we do whatever we can do. You know, it's just part of, I think, the spirit of being a firefighter. It's something I heard someone say. A firefighter is not what you do. It's what you are.
Absolutely.
And it's just You know, when there's a need, there's something in you arouses and arises, and you just look to fill that need, whatever it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I know we've talked a lot about the fire department and things of that nature, and we're going to be rolling into a break in a little bit, and Gary's going to talk to us about grilling.
Okay.
And bonfires, and I mean, I'm hoping he's got like his mama's recipe for that we go. He gonna give us a rib tip recipe or something like that.
Man, no, I mean, hey, my mama might be listening. If I do that, then I'll be in trouble. I won't get no more ribs.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm hoping. When we first started talking about this, I thought, oh, you know what, Gary's gonna have mama Nim's recipe.
Mama Nim,
yeah, you know, Mama Nim got that good recipe.
Know.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, Mihan. I'm hoping that when we come back from that break, that Gary gonna say, okay, well, first you take a little law, Ritz.
All right.
And yeah, that's what we hope.
It's not like I better make something up, then.
Yeah. Keep it locked, Muskegon 103.7 B. We'll be right back after these quick messages.
Oh man. All right, Chris.
It's the Fire Chief Chris Dean Radio Show on 103.7 The Beat. The Fire Chief Chris Dean Radio Show on 103.7 The Beat.
Wow, every time I hear that, I think that's a lot of information that Dan's given us. What do you think?
Quite a bit.
It's great information.
It's great information. Yeah. Very, very timely information. It talks about some power lines down and things like that. I tell you what, he definitely puts it out there.
Mm-hmm. He does.
All right. Well, you know, as promised, when we came into the break, we're coming out with Gary's mom's secret barbecue recipe.
Oh, listen here. Now, if I had a recipe to give you all, I certainly would.
Okay.
I certainly would. But I'll tell you, man, for myself,
okay,
I'm going to be honest with you. Sweet baby Ray's.
Oh, no.
Sweet baby Ray's. No. Now, wait just a minute now. You can do it. They've got a couple different, and this is not a Sweet Baby Ray plug. This is just how I do it. But regardless of which sauce you use, they have various ones. You can always take that sauce and go your own way with it.
Okay.
See, for myself, I'm one who fancies ghost pepper, scorpion sauce, that kind of hot stuff. So what I do, I use my Sweet Baby Ray's as a base, and then I may add a little ketchup, a little brown sugar. It's a tad bit of Worcestershire sauce and a little bit of my scorpion sauce. And people rave. So if you know how to do your ribs or your chicken, you know, you do that the way you do it. And then the secret is in the sauce.
Okay.
How's that?
All right. We better, you know what? We better get to the fire safety portion. What you got, Gary? I mean, you know, Firefighter Davis.
Well, you know, speaking of grills and everything like that, in reality, though, just like we talked a little earlier, weather's getting nice, and the first thing people want to do is get outside.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, generally, you're going to be getting outside, cleaning the yard and everything like that. And
right.
Then you get the idea, man, well, if I'm going to be outside, I got to cook. I may as well cook outside. So when it's time to fire up the grill. And a lot of people will just, you got to keep in mind that the grill's been sitting there all winter. Some people cover their grills, some people don't. And the grills actually have, I'm not sure of the life expectancy of them, but because of the dampness, moisture, and everything else, some of the metal components within the grill can start to rust,
okay,
therefore prohibiting that grill from functioning properly. The statistic says that at least 2,050 fires occur from grill usage each year.
Hmm.
Believe it or not, 10 of those fires, or 10 of those, may result in deaths.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I didn't know the statistics were that high when it comes to grill fire deaths, but yes, it is.
Wow.
About $37 million of property damage is suffered also.
Okay. So what are some of the things? You know, I think of when I grill, you know, I have a little patio, a deck, wooden deck outside my house, mm-hmm, that I grill on. And I know one of the things I do is, you know, I have a propane grill. I know. Okay. I know. I hope my mom's not listening. Mom, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But,
know she listens.
But one of the things I do is I have it like on the far side away from the house so uh-huh. that so that if it flares up, it doesn't get the house.
Right.
You know, what are some of the other things that we should keep in mind when we're thinking about grilling safety?
Okay. One thing you should keep in mind also is not only because if you're grilling on the wooden deck, sometimes it depends on what type of grill a person is using. A lot of times they're using charcoal. Underneath the grill is a catcher. Some people's catcher, like I say, because of the moisture, you get rust, and who knows when that's going to dump all your ashes down on your deck.
Yeah.
And if you think about a deck, it's wood, and it's not a solid floor. You've got the space between each of the boards. Yeah. And generally, if you don't have a lattice around the bottom of the deck, there's leaves underneath.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you can, ashes can fall down unbeknownst to you, and you can walk away, and you have smoldering leaves underneath. And by the time you realize that, you may have a fire underneath.
Okay. Yeah,
that, catch that deck of fire, and
then it could spread into the house. I know a couple of friends of mine who investigate fires also have investigated fires that started from similar situations, leaves and stuff under a deck catching fire from grilling and spreading into the house, and so it's a realistic hazard.
It's a realistic hazard. Yes, okay. It is.
So keeping the grill away from the home, probably 10 feet or so,
yep.
And being mindful of your ashes and what's coming out of the grill.
Right.
Do I have to pay attention to my grilling like I do inside the house?
Yes, you do.
Oh.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Statistics also say that the majority of those fires that resulted as of grilling incidences were unattended.
Okay.
You know, it's not like the fire, you know, even if you're there attending, you know, the situation, if you see the ashes fall down, you're going to be quick to respond, hopefully, you know. Uh-huh. And if it slips down between the boards, you know, you can at least douse it with the water. It's always good to have a water hose in close proximity. Okay. When you're grilling also.
All right. Well, you know, a lot of people out there, when they're grilling, they have little kids running around.
Yes, they do.
You know, I know it's not a fire thing, but it's a safety thing, wouldn't you say?
It's a safety thing, yes, yes.
Playing basketball. Ball can hit the grill.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Or just running around. Kids are pretty excited about the nice weather that's just come in, and they can be, you know, they think they've got to get all the plan done and just within a few minutes, you know, a summer's worth of plan in a few minutes because of cabin fever. You know, they've been in the house all winter and stuff, but they can get pretty careless, and they're kids to begin with, but they can get extra careless at the time. And you would want to make sure that you're cooking and grilling in an area where there's no children playing.
Right.
Because, you know, not only causing a fire, but, of course, we all know hot coals can fall on the, you know, burn.
Yeah. Yeah.
The surface of the grill is usually hot.
Yes.
Kids accidentally touching the grill or, you know, wanting to try and get the hot dog off the grill without mom or dad's help.
Right.
Things of that nature. There's lots of injuries that occur every summer from grilling. Things of, you know, kids playing tag. Okay, you
mm-hmm.
know, send them out in the yard to play tag. Send them away from it.
Right.
One of the things that I've seen a few times here and there, which is super unsafe, is people with grills on their porch. They'll have an open front porch, and they'll have the grill sitting right there on the open front porch, grilling away.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke rolling off the eaves and just having a good old time. Maybe it's raining or whatever, and they like, oh, I don't want to get wet. Super, super unsafe to do. If you have any kind of fire in the grill that flares up, you've now brought it almost inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that people probably don't think about is grills, when you're cooking, create carbon monoxide, a colorless, odorless gas. And if you have that grill on the porch, that some of that carbon monoxide is migrating into the house.
That's correct.
And because of the roof over the porch, it's capturing the carbon monoxide and it's allowing it to seep into the house. And it's creating a new hidden danger that you may not be aware of in your home or your apartment with that. So you want to avoid doing that, grilling on your porch. Even if you got an open porch and you're like, oh, there's plenty of air right here. one, it's not fire safe. Number two, you're introducing carbon monoxide because the gases from the coals or the burners aren't escaping upwards and outwards into the air. They're catching up in the ceiling area above, and they'll migrate into the home and create a significant safety hazard. Mm-hmm. And so that's another thing in that realm. You mentioned something about yard work. Is it that time of the year?
It's that time of the year.
Burning leaves.
It's that time of the year.
What? No, I mean, not,
hey, what you said?
That's exactly what I'm worried about. And I say this because every year we struggle with this. In certain rural areas, you can get a burn permit. In the city areas, you're not allowed to burn leaves. It is not permitted. It creates a lot of nuisance smoke that can affect your neighbors. No one wants smoke from burning leaves blowing inside their house and smelling their house up. Just that simple. We want the yards clean and everything, but burning leaves isn't the answer. It creates a fire safety hazard. It creates a health hazard. In the city of Muskegon Heights, you're not allowed to burn leaves. In the city of Muskegon, you're not allowed to burn leaves. In Norton Shores, you're not allowed to burn leaves. In the city of North Muskegon proper, you're not allowed to burn leaves. In some of the township areas, it's allowed, but generally speaking, leaves and yard clippings and grass and things like that, you're not allowed to burn. And it's important because on many levels, and one of those is in town, you have such close proximity to your neighbors, and it affects people's health. There's lots of people out there in the world with asthma, emphysema, that it negatively impacts it. And leaf smoke and grass clipping smoke is kind of a thicker, denser smoke that carries, and it may not be affecting you at your house, and you're like, oh, the smoke's going up in there, it's fine. But a block over, it's blowing, and it's blowing into someone's house.
Right.
And it's affecting the way their house is, and it could be affecting their health. And so it's strictly prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is you can do what's called a recreational fire at bonfire, a camp-style fire in Muskegon Heights. It's very limited. You have to burn clean sawn wood, no construction material of any type. No painted boards, no dressers, no furniture. Nothing of that type may be utilized. Okay. Nothing at all. It's clean sawn wood. That's it. In a pit less than 3 feet in diameter, has to be at least, I think, 15 feet away from the house, and or any other combustible substance, such as your neighbor's stockade wooden fence. It needs to be 15 feet away from the fence, 15 feet away from the house. If you're digging a pit, you want to make sure that, you know, there's no underground gas line there. We've had an instance where someone dug a nice, beautiful pit, put little stones around it. Man, it was nice looking. Beautiful. Beautiful. And it got that nice fire going. Them coals got nice and hot, and all of a sudden they had a blue flame shooting out through the middle of their pit. And that was because they had a plastic gas line underneath it that ran to their house. It was the service line to their home.
Yep.
So before you dig there or in any yard work digging, you want to call 1-800-MIS-DIG and have them mark the underground utilities nearby before you start digging. Right. The fire department responds dozens of times each year to people who were putting a fence in and severed a gas line.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And 1-800-MIS-DIG is a free service. So you want to call them about 3 to 5 days before you're anticipating digging so they can come out and they'll have all the different utilities come out and mark their lines. And so that way you don't accidentally cut a gas line, a power line, or something of that nature. They also have an online website. If you Google search MIS-DIG, there's also an online website that you can utilize to let you know where to put in the information, and they'll come out and mark it at no cost. So kind of save yourself the trouble of having the fire department come out because you cut the gas line, and contact 1-800-MIS-DIG.
All right, all right. Man, you got to wonder, was that by design?
Yeah.
That's a nice
right.
Put a valve on it.
Yeah. All right.
I just like to add, too, if you're going to be doing a recreational fire, you would want to keep water nearby, because even a closely guarded fire, it can get out of hand. You know, it with good strong wind, you know, it can take that flame or you know a item, a stick or something, and blow that. You know, and that'll transfer to somewhere else in the yard, maybe bushes or something. But you want if you got a water hose, you want to keep that by you, a bucket of water, anything You know, you can get somebody that may just get a little closer to the fire. And you want to have some water, put it that way.
Absolutely.
What about lighter fluid? Keeping that next to the grill.
Well, once you get the charcoal going, put it away. Get it out of the way. Put it away so you don't accidentally knock it over and get a fire started, something like that. So that the kids don't end up playing with it or something like that. Once you get the grill going, just lock it up.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, all right. Is there a caller? Is that the other line? I was hoping there was a caller. Man, if we're winding it down in these last minutes, 722-8338. You can call on in, and because we're getting ready to wind it down. If you got a question, now is the time to call.
Our guest, Janae, she has a question.
Okay, we got a guest in. You know what? I forgot we had a guest in the studio. I hear one day that she can be running the boards for us. What's your name again?
My name is Janae.
Janae, okay. Is that going to be your radio name, or are you going to have an alias?
It's Lady J.
Okay, all Lady right. J. Lady J.
Quick question. What is a safe way to start a actual bonfire?
Okay, well, that's a very good question. When setting up a bonfire, I recommend that you not use any kind of ignitable liquid if you can. Organize your sticks and twigs in like a teepee or like a log cabin, and then put paper and smaller sticks and twigs in the middle of the teepee or log cabin, and then, you know, with a lighter or matches, light the paper. The smaller sticks and twigs will get the larger sticks and twigs burning once the heat builds up inside either the log cabin style square or the teepee, and then it'll continue to burn. As much as possible, I like to discourage the use of any ignitable liquid for bonfires. Oftentimes, they're the catalyst for bigger problems with bonfires.
That's great.
Very, very often, it's the lead-in to a bigger problem is what occurs when that happens. So lots of people you can see on YouTube using gasoline and having very, very negative outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, doing it the old Boy Scout, Girl Scout way,
right.
You know, is, you know, sticks and twigs, lighter matches. That's it. A great question. Cause I've seen and heard of many times people getting injured using, we'll put a little bit of gas on it, we'll get it going. And they forget about the gasoline vapors. And then all of a sudden there's this really big whoosh that occurs, and they're in the middle of the whoosh. And they get burned and injured sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
Mess up their eyebrows. I mean, I guess that's the way to get your eyebrows done, but it's probably not the recommended way.
Honda, we recommend you do the old Fred Flintstone style.
Oh, yeah.
Rub the sticks together.
Yeah.
The stones.
Yeah.
I have been to a bonfire. I want to know if this is a safety issue. Pouring a lighting fluid on sticks before it's in the fire.
Well, now that's a method that can be used. Again, I'm always against, you know, any extra additives. I mean, but you can do sticks like charcoal and pouring lighter fluid on the sticks. If you're using something to artificially start it, use like a commercial lighter fluid, not gasoline. I can't stress enough, do not use gasoline. Gasoline produces a lot of vapors. Those vapors are flammable. And
it's expensive.
You're right, it's expensive.
Right, in more ways than one.
Yeah. Well, as a fire investigator, I was teaching a class last night on fire investigation, and one of the things I said is whenever I investigate a fire and I found out that gasoline was used and set it, I said, well, you know, that narrows down who did it because they invested in setting that fire because they're spending money on it.
Right.
But that's another story. That's for another day. We're not going to tell stories of fire investigation past.
He's got a lot of, but I didn't say that.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, we're winding it down. I think we've covered the grilling safety. We've covered bonfire safety. We've let you know you cannot burn your leaves.
Right.
And all that good stuff. And so, again, we always want to remind people, you know, smoke alarms, if you don't have them, pretty much everywhere in Muskegon County there's a program going on right now. Yeah. Everywhere in the county there is a program going on with smoke alarms. So call your local fire department. It's not just Muskegon Heights and Muskegon anymore, although we've been probably at it the longest. I know we've installed over 1,000 smoke alarms, and we've been over 200 homes in Muskegon Heights.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Muskegon City, they have a great program that they got rolling. Muskegon Township, Norton Shores have jumped onto the Michigan Smoke Alarms for Everyone program, and they're going to be participating in that. So pretty much everywhere is going to have smoke alarms available to be installed. And it's a great thing, great program that to have those smoke alarms available to the public.
Uh-huh.
If you're in a rental property in Muskegon Heights, your landlord is required by city ordinance to have 10-year sealed lithium battery smoke alarms. We're going to actually start a program of citing landlords for failure to have them. It's gotten to the point where they've had long enough, and you can't always be too nice. I mean, being too nice sometimes doesn't get you where you need to be, and with fire safety, it's life or death. And so we're actually going to go back and cite some people for not having them. We're actually looking through where some landlords have told us about, we've got smoke alarms, and they didn't, or had their renter sign up to have the ones installed through our grant program, and it was a rental property that they were supposed to install, and we're going to go back, wow, and we're going to cite people for it. It's a $250 fine. So if someone fictitiously said that the property was owner-occupied and it wasn't, and we find documentation that it's not, which we'll be reviewing over the next couple of weeks, we're going to send them a $250 civil infraction ticket. If we come upon a rental property that's not in compliance, we're going to send the owner a $250 civil infraction ticket.
And why pay that, and you can just go to the store and get the fire?
A fire
smoke alarm. Yeah,
that's correct. Right. That's correct. And why put up with the risk?
Yeah.
You know, let's make sure those smoke alarms are in the home where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
All right. With that, you know, as we wind down, I want to thank Lady J, our super secret special guest sitting in the corner.
She was a sleeper.
Yeah. Mihan for running the boards, as always, being there for us. And firefighter Gary Davis for coming in the studio today with me,
providing a
fire safety message.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the sponsors, 103.7 The Beat, for allowing us to be on the airwaves to provide fire safety information to the community. I want to thank those people out there who are supporting this station. And always you out there in Radioland, the listeners, for being here for me, for being here for the fire department, being here for your community. And with that, Mihan, take it away.
It's the Fire Chief, Chris Dean Radio Show on 103.7 The Beat.